I'm Steve Potter, and still to come on Cityscape, storyteller Sue Henkel will preview the 34th annual St. Louis Storytelling Festival, with features over 100 events across the St. Louis region, culminating with the 6 nationally known storytellers who will perform May 4th at the Two Hill. But first on Soundbites, our monthly feature in partnership with Sauce Magazine, please welcome Managing Editor Stacy Schultz. Hi, Stacy. Nice to see you again.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here.
Stacy, Sauce Magazine is always looking at trends, keeps their eye on trends, but we're talking about Trend Watch today, and that's something very specific.
It is, and you know, like you said, we do always have, you know, our thumb on the pulse of new trends in the food and drink scene in St. Louis, and sometimes we'll spot up-and-coming trends that haven't quite gained legs enough to warrant an entire big, you know, 6-page feature, but they're certainly worthy of noting. And that's why we created Trend Watch. And we think of it as kind of a snapshot of the St. Louis food and drink scene.
So is that something you do on a regular basis? Is that once a year or what?
We're going to start doing it. This is the second time we've done it, which is in the April issue, which is out on newsstands right now. And we're going to start doing it every 3 months.
Uh-huh.
So you can expect to see it occasionally, and it's kind of, we're hoping it's a guide, you know, an ingredient to look for at the market, a drink to order at the bar, a dish to keep an eye out for on menus next time you go out to dinner.
So when we see something on Trend Watch, are you going to guarantee it's going to become a trend, or you're just not sure?
We're just noticing that more and more. So, you know, we're always eating out. We're always looking at new menus and things like that, and we're always have our eyes and ears open, and we'll mark something down and we'll see things grow. You know, we'll see one person doing it and then casually, eventually over the months, we'll see 3, 5, that list grow to 3, 5, 7, 10 places. And then we'll say, okay, this is something we need to be talking about.
All right. Well, a little later in the segment, then I want to talk to you about things, everything from mustard greens to cheese curds.
Indeed.
But before we get to that, what about Thai food? Now, you know, I remember a time in my lifetime. There are quite a number of Thai restaurants, I guess, around now. But 30 years ago, I don't know if we had one in St. Louis.
Is that right?
I think. What about is Thai food? Is that on your Trend Watch list?
It is indeed. It's actually a specific type of Thai food. And now our readers and listeners who love Thai food know that St. Louis has no shortage of Thai restaurants. But what we haven't had until now, at least to my knowledge, is a Northern Thai restaurant. And it's Northern Thai food around the country is actually gaining a lot of awareness right now. Alan Richman, who's the restaurant editor for GQ magazine, actually named a Thai restaurant the most outstanding restaurant of the year this year. And that kind of caught our eye. And just as that was happening, Fork and Sticks opened in the Loop, which is a new restaurant that's specializing in Northern Thai cuisine.
Well, you brought along a special guest today.
I sure did. I brought along Pach Lin Wana, who is the chef owner of Fork and Sticks, to kind of expand a little bit more upon what we covered in Trend Watch this month about what Northern Thai cuisine is and how Fork and Sticks is bringing that to St. Louis.
Hi, Pach Lin. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you.
Hi, good to have you here. I haven't been to your place. How long have you been around?
We have been open for about 5 months.
Well, let me confess, I think that I've only eaten in, excuse me for this, one Thai restaurant ever. And because I'm a big fan of Vietnamese, there's a place in South Grand I've been going for a quarter of a century. And I always thought the Thai was probably close to Vietnamese, and I went there once and I did enjoy it. So let's begin with that. Is that a fair comparison?
I think some ingredients we do use the same, like lemongrass and et cetera. I think Thai flavor is going to be a little bit more of a stronger flavor in such a like spiciness and the sweet and the sour. So we combine those flavors together, you know. So the ingredients is going to also different variety as well, like in the north, the central region, and the south. So I think it's a little bit more stronger flavor than the Vietnamese.
Now, from what I understand about Thai cuisine, you're going to talk about two, but I think aren't there 3 or 4 different kinds of Thai food depending on what country that part of Thailand is bordering?
Yes, yes. So in Thailand, it's going to be the northern cuisine, which is Chiang Mai region. And then you go to the northeastern, which they call Isan, part of Thailand. And then you have central, which is from the Bangkok region. And you have the southern cuisine.
Mm-hmm. And is Thai food known overall as as being spicy?
I think so, but I think that's the misconception about Thai food, because not everything is spicy, and not every Thai person eat really spicy either.
So. Uh-huh. All right. Well, tell me about your place, Fork and Sticks, and that's in the Loop. What sort of Thai food do you specialize in?
We specialize in northern Thai cuisine from Chiang Mai. So we have like the sai ua sausage that have ground pork and chili, kaffir lime leaf and lemongrass. And another specialty is the khao soi, which is a yellow curry broth noodle soup. And then we also have like the hot sauce that we have, which is called nam prik num, which is a those are the three things that are very popular in the north.
Uh-huh. Stacey, are you an authority on this?
I can't say I'm an authority, but I have had that. All three of those items and that khao soi soup is a wonderful lunch during a rainy or cold day.
Well, you mentioned three items, I think. Can we talk about those a little more specifically? Start with the soup. Now, I'm familiar with hot and sour soup that I get other places. So is it anything like that?
It's different. The khao soi have influence with the Chinese Muslim. So traditionally, it's always going to be served with beef or chicken. And it's lighter and curry. It's not going to be like the red or the green because it's a soup, so the broth is much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it have egg noodles, and you eat in combination with pickled mustard greens and then red onions, cilantro, and then lime wedge. And then you have a spice on the side that you can add to that people tend to love the spice that we have. That way you kind of get this sour and then chili sauce.
Mm-hmm. So. Sounds good.
It's really a flavor that I've never had in a soup, and it's very different from kind of the Tom Yum soup that you're used to seeing at most Thai restaurants in St. Louis.
But soup is good for the soul, I guess, no matter what it is. You mentioned a curry dish, didn't you?
We have a Hung Lei curry dish, which is a sweet pork belly and a little bit of loin curry dish. We do not put coconut milk in there, due to the fact that this one have a Burmese influence. So we finish it out with fresh ginger, cilantro, and then green onions, and then peanuts.
Mm-hmm. And what was the other dish you mentioned?
Sai ua sausage.
Uh-huh. What's that?
This one we use ground pork with garlic, chili, and also cilantro, and also like lemongrass. We blend it all up, and then we make them into sausage. So
you do that by hand, right?
Yes. Huh? We make the sausage by at the store.
So you say the cuisine at Fork and Sticks is, you said that's the northern influence. And so how exactly is that different from the central?
I heard to say the central region, they're going to use a little bit more of sweetness to their food. They add sugar. There's also coconut milk. The flavor is a little bit more milder than northern Thai cuisine. And then the spices that we use in the north is also different. There's a spice that we use that we add into our food. I believe they call it Indian prick ash, which is similar to almost the Sichuan peppercorn seeds. So in the north, we add that to our soup. So it add the spiciness to it, and the fragrance of the food is going to taste different.
Uh-huh.
And Bangkok food, not all of it's going to be sweet, but they're going to be like add a little bit more to the sweet, the sour, and then the coconut milk. Very rich in those kind of foods. Uh-huh. So
what's another popular dish? That you guys serve?
That we have, I would have to say. So pad thai has been coming out very well.
What is it?
Pad thai.
And that is?
Pad thai is going to be from the central region with rice noodles and bean sprouts, eggs, green onions. And then the way we serve is also with dry shrimp, also the salted turnips, which is typically what's supposed to be in there, and then tofu as well.
It all sounds pretty healthy, which is good, and not that I would want anything fried, but it, do you have anything that's fried?
We have hoi jiao, which is a Chinese influence. I know that this one I have ground pork, shrimp, and then the crab mix. We rolled it up with the tofu skin, steamed, and then we cut it, and then we fried it.
Because, you know, some of us Midwesterners have to have something fried once in a while, right, Stacey?
Exactly. You have to appeal to everybody.
I'm really big pachlin on appetizers. I can make a meal out of appetizers. So in addition to the soup, what are a couple of appetizers you might point me to?
I think if you like that, I would say the make the sai uo and also the mu bing, which is a grilled pork that we marinate with coriander seeds, garlic, and a little bit of coconut milk and sugar. And both come with sticky rice. And also the nam prik num, which is the hot sauce that comes with the steamed vegetables.
Well, Fork and Sticks is located in the Del Mar Loop.
Yes.
Where exactly are you there?
We are at 549 Rosedale Avenue, east of Skinker.
And before I let you go, I have a slight addiction to Red Bull. I didn't know this until today, that originated from a Thai drink.
Well, Red Bull was invented in Thailand.
Huh.
Yes, but the Asian version and the Western version is different. The Asian version is not carbonated. It tastes much sweeter. Comes in a brown bottle. And in Thailand, it's called Grating Dang.
All right, I'm addicted to it, so.
And does it have the same amount of caffeine as Red Bull does?
I'm not quite sure on that one.
You don't cook with it, do you?
No.
We've been talking to Pach Linwana. She's with Fork and Sticks, a restaurant in the Loop, and you're the owner/chef, I believe, correct?
Yes, I do get into the kitchen sometimes.
So nice meeting you. Thanks for coming.
Too. Thank you.
Stacy Schultz, back to Trend Watch in the few minutes we have remaining. Mustard greens, that's on your list?
It sure is. You know, I was here at the end of last year. Michael Renner, our restaurant reviewer, was talking about some of the trends from last year, and kale was really the ingredient of 2012. We saw it cooked down with bacon, shredded raw into salads. It's really everywhere. And now we're still seeing quite a bit of kale. Don't get me wrong. That's not disappearing by any means. But we've been noticing that mustard greens are popping up on menus also. And those are kind of...
I've never liked them.
I was going to say they're kind of an extension now that kale has introduced us to kind of what bitter greens can be and how delicious they can be. Mustard greens are kind of the next step in that. So they're sharper, more bitter, so they need to be cooked down with fat and broth and seasonings low and slow until they're tender and that bitterness isn't overpowering.
I probably just haven't had them prepared the right way, I guess.
Exactly.
I mentioned cheese curds. So let me ask you, mozzarella sticks, are they like so yesterday?
They're so yesterday. No. Hey, Americans love their French fries and mozzarella sticks. Bar food isn't going anywhere. But this is kind of an all-natural mozzarella stick. Cheese curds are really, when you make cheese, you have curds and you have whey. So curds are the semi-solid portion of the coagulated milk that gets separated from the whey, the liquid portion. And we're seeing them getting fried up into bar snacks at Perennial Artisan Ales, which is a craft brewery in South City, at Dressel's, which is a public house in the West End, and at Five Star Burgers, which is a burger and shake restaurant by Steve Gontram in Clayton, where you can get them on your burger, you can get them in a bowl of tomato soup, you can get them on a side like French fries.
I also understand as part of Trend Watch that you've been keeping tabs on the drinking habits of people that work in restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever, once you get to know, you know, the chefs and bartenders and the GMs and people within the restaurant industry, they need a good drink after a long night on their feet and in the hot kitchen. And we started noticing through Twitter and Instagram and different methods of social media and even the menus that one particular group was drinking Fernet Branca, which is, it's not new. It's a bitter Italian liqueur. And it's not new, but we're noticing that the niche family of restaurants, they were all drinking it. So Brian Moxie, who's the executive chef at Pastoria, which is Niche's new Italian restaurant in Clayton, was tweeting that it was his nice nightcap after a long shift. Chris Kelling, who's the GM at Niche, was on Instagram talking about craving a big glass of Fernet.
And just real briefly, new Jewish food, there's more than lox and bagels?
There is indeed, yeah. People love, you know, lox and bagels and blintzes and very straightforward Jewish food, but we're seeing people put a gourmet twist on Jewish food. And we've seen it at restaurants all over the country using from scratch and preparations and really cool, different creative ingredients. And while we don't have a restaurant dedicated to that just yet, Anthony Devote over at Five Bistro did a Passover Seder where he did, you know, a gefilte fish quenelle with root vegetables and macaroon flowers, chocolate cakes, and really cool twists on Jewish food that I'm really excited by.
Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. So if you want more Trend Watch information, this month's edition of Sauce Magazine, which is out and about right now, right?
Yep, exactly.
And we visit with you every month. We look forward to that. Stacy Schultz from Sauce Magazine, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, the St. Louis Storytelling Festival. This is St. Louis Public Radio.